Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy,
where we're expanding the conversation around Catholic sexuality.
I'm Ellen.
And I'm Kathleen.
Welcome to the show. All right, welcome back to another Charting Toward Intimacy episode. We have Kathleen here with us.
We're all here.
And we are talking, I'm excited about this conversation. We are talking about initiating and why you, as the woman, I think you need to start getting comfortable with initiating. But also, let me just caveat that, like, a lot of this conversation and advice is things that Kathleen and I need to start doing as well. So this is, like, almost more of a conversation for us to empower us.
Yeah.
But then, you know, empower you through this conversation.
Yeah. And I think also kind of talking about some of the misconceptions that can sort of develop between spouses when you do start initiating, right? And the conversations that sort of need to happen if it's going to become a regular thing and if you're going to become comfortable with it. This is all stuff that we're sort of working on and realizing.
Yes.
In our current life. So
it's good. It's going to be a great conversation. Yeah. Before we jump in, we're going to answer a listener question. We answer a listener question at the beginning of every episode. If you'd like to submit your questions, there's an open question box in the show notes, or you can submit questions at any time over on Instagram. And I will take all of the questions at the end of the month that I didn't get to and answer them in a Q&A video and a little bit more in depth over on the Charting Toward Intimacy exclusive community. So if you want access to that video, you can join the exclusive community for only $5 a month. There's a link to that in the show notes as well. A lot of the questions that we got this month are, like, big. They're big, good, big questions. And we only allot about, like, 3 to 5 minutes at the beginning of the episode to answer a question. And so we typically can't, like, get to it all if it's a really big question. And so the big questions I typically save for that Q&A video. So this question, we're going to answer a little bit, but I just also want you to know that I'm going to go a little bit more in depth. I'm going to bring this question to that Q&A video as well. So if you want, like, more on this answer, if you want to go more in depth on it, definitely join the exclusive community so you can get the Q&A video. All right. So here's a question. How to discuss NFP with a mom who didn't practice it? Now, I know you're already thinking, like, oh, this is a mom who, like, you know, they did contraception. We're talking about the other side. So a mom who was just completely open to life, had lots of children, and struggled financially, mentally, things like that, with having so many kids. And so this person, they kind of explained it to me a little bit more, like, I want to be sensitive. I don't want to say that, like, my childhood was bad or that, like, I think she made wrong decisions. But also, like, I know that that's not what I want for my family. And, like, and so we've discerned to, like, use NFP and avoid. So there's a lot to this
question. There is a lot to that. And honestly, I've heard that from several people coming from similar type families.
Yeah, it can be really hard. And so, I mean, I think what this basically boils down to is, you know, how to have the conversation about NFP with someone who believes that NFP is not a licit means of, like, pregnancy avoidance, like, and or kind of someone who just believes, like, you should just be completely open to life. And, you know, so we talk about on the podcast quite a bit. We've talked about Humana Vitae. What Pope John Paul, I'm wrong one, Pope Paul the Sixth. What one he said in Humana Vitae about responsible parenthood, and that, you know, that NFP is completely licit for, you know, with good discernment for serious reasons, right? If you have reasons to avoid pregnancy. But I think, like, what's difficult here in this conversation with mom is, a lot of it can look like, you know, I didn't like my childhood. I think what the best approach here, and again, like we said, we're going to just kind of tease this answer, and then I'm going to go in more depth in the Q&A video, is honesty is really the best and only policy here. And so when it comes to like why you are using NFP, with proper consideration to how your mom is going to feel about what you're going to say, like, I think the best thing to do here is kind of explain, like, hey, you know, mom, like, our childhood was kind of hard. Like, I saw you struggle, and I'm so grateful that I have all of my brothers and sisters, and that's so wonderful. But like, I just know for me personally, that's too much for me. I don't see myself able to like handle that amount of difficulty with so many kids, you know, and things like that. And kind of putting it back on yourself, I think sometimes can help with those kinds of conversations. All right. We've already talked for like too long on that question. Like I said, I'm going to go more in depth.
I think that's really good.
Okay. So initiating.
Initiating.
This is going to be fun. Let's first talk about why we don't initiate. Why like women like Kathleen and I don't like to initiate. And Kathleen has some story time for us.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I would say that I don't tend to initiate because I don't tend to just be sort of spontaneously in the mood. And I think that, you know, if I'm laying in bed and I have the option to initiate or go to sleep, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to choose to go to sleep.
It's true.
I mean, right? And it's like, so I will say that this has been like a really sort of contentious part of our relationship. My husband feeling, this is something that's like really come out a lot over the last like couple of years, that, you know, he feels like unloved. He feels like undesirable when I am not initiating. Now we can go into like the different type of like desires, right? The spontaneous desire and the responsive desire, and talk about that, how many women, it's not uncommon for women more often, though it's not the rule, to be more of responsive desire people, meaning that our desire comes in response to our husband's initiation, right? Like,
right. Our like, so responsive desire comes truly, like the definition of responsive desire is that desire and that arousal come from physical stimulation. Yeah. And so like, you're not going to just think about sex and be like, oh, I want to have sex. But like, once you get into it and you start becoming physically aroused, then you're like, oh yeah, like I want to have sex. Like,
sounds good. Yeah.
This sounds good now.
This,
like,
right?
We're like 10, 15, 20 minutes in. And like, now I'm like, right. Let's go.
Right. Exactly. Which is why it, you know, a lot of women struggle with initiation, because it's like, they're not primed. They're not ready. They don't have the desire until like they have been made aroused, right? Like through initiation. Right. So, you know, but I have learned, and I think this is something that we as women really need to work on, you know, in conversations that I've had with my husband about how he feels unloved, how he feels undesirable, like those kinds of things. Like, I don't want him feeling that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do love him. And so I'm learning, not perfect, not doing great, but learning that I need to initiate, even if I'm not aroused, right? Like, it's something that I need to start doing more. And that, like, you know, this isn't like a, like, oh, I just need to do what my husband says and I need to give him what he wants. Like, no, it's like a call for me to love my husband better, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's not to say, like, you know, I just have to do it all the time, because believe me, I don't. It's like, I need to start practicing and doing it more often, right? Just like realizing that this is a way that he feels loved. And so I need to do that. That's like my duty. So I will say that this here's my story time. This ended semi-recently in a little miscommunication. So
I think this is the crux of our conversation here.
This is the crux of the conversation. Yeah. So I was very close to starting my period. I was like a day away. And my husband knew it was coming. So he asked me one day, like, did you get your period yet? And I said, no. And he said, all right, well, maybe we could do kind of like one more, like, you know, before the period comes, like, you know, go at it tonight. And it was like, yeah, sure. That makes sense. You know, why not? So that was like the middle of the day, obviously, right? So by the evening, and we're going to bed, I remembered probably getting my period tomorrow. I told him that we could go for it, so we're going to go for it. Not particularly aroused or, like, necessarily in the mood, but, like, yeah, we're going to go for it. So I initiated and did it, and I was so proud of myself being like,
I'm awesome.
You did this. Like, you're loving your husband the way he asked to be loved. Like, get it, girl. You know, like,
yeah.
Good job on you, right? And then what happened? My husband responded, assuming that I was just, like, turned on and ready to go,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's, like, things are moving a little bit faster than I really was, like, ready for them to, right? There wasn't, like, the warm-up. There wasn't a whole ton of foreplay. I mean, until I said, like, too much. Like, let's go back to the beginning, right? Like, and then he was like, okay.
Can we start back at zero?
Yeah, like, okay. And he was, like, kind of confused. But just, like, yeah, it was just, like, the miscommunication, we ended up talking about it afterwards. Just that, like, well, you initiated. So I thought you were, like, totally ready to go. I was like, no, I initiated because you asked me to initiate. Right. So, but here's the thing, like, because I'm initiating doesn't mean I'm like you, where you initiate when you're just like, you're good. Right. Like, you're ready. That's not how I work, but I'm initiating because I love you. And you ask me to initiate, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was this whole, he was like, oh, well, I just assumed that because you were initiating, you were good to go. Like, we could get going. It was just like, nope, that's not what it means when I initiate. So it's interesting because initiation, I think in men and women, often comes from two different places.
Yep.
Right? Like, it makes so much sense, right? That, like, arousal comes from two different places,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, of course, initiation is going to come from two different places. But it's so hard when you're not in the other person's skin to see and understand if that's not being well communicated. So,
right.
You know, I didn't communicate it beforehand, but I also just sort of assumed, like, oh, yeah, I just didn't think I had to communicate it necessarily. And then I learned, no, you do. You got to communicate literally everything. But I think that that's a really important thing that we need to recognize, that it's good for us to step out of our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And if your spouse, you know, feel like mine, feels loved, more loved through your initiation and more desired, then give them that, right? Like, that's really important. And it's not going to feel natural. And it's not going to feel like, you know, it's not always going to feel good necessarily,
mm-hmm.
right? But, like, it is active love, right? Like, love is an action. And that
right. Love is a choice. It's a decision.
Every single day, right? And so that it is an active love and it's important for us to do, but we do also need to be aware that you should probably have a discussion and sort of communicate what that means, like how that works to you, right? That it's like, I want to try to initiate more because I know that it makes you feel loved, it makes you feel wanted, all that kind of stuff. However, here's what I need you to understand about when I initiate.
Mm-hmm.
And just getting on the same page. It's like with everything. I mean, man, if sex is not a team sport, I don't know. Right? It's like,
it's true. Like, sex needs so much communication. And I think, like, just culture has just taught us that it doesn't, and that it just, like, should happen naturally. But that's not what sex is, right? Like, nothing and else also, happens naturally in marriage.
Yeah. And I think also, like, a lie that we've sort of, like, absorbed from our culture is just that, like, you should have this, like, super turned on desire all the time,
mm-hmm.
right? Or just, like, you should be able to just, like, anytime you enter sex, you should have this visceral desire. Like, that's just not, that's a lie that has actually, like, really hurt us at times.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at that theologically for just a second.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So our society, yeah, like, I would agree with that, that, like, there's just this, oh, like, you should just desire your husband all the time. And, like, you're broken if you don't. And, like, there's something wrong with your libido. And you have low libido. And that's a problem that you need to fix. You've got hormonal issues that you need to fix, right? I feel like I've heard it all at this point. Probably haven't.
Yeah.
But.
Right. Yeah.
Let's talk about going to Mass. Do you love going to Mass every single time? Do you love sitting down to prayer? Are you on fire to sit down to prayer every single time? No.
Yeah.
But you do. You do go to Mass. And you say to God, okay, I'm just not feeling it today at Mass, but, like, I'm here for you, Lord. I'm here. I'm here because you asked me to be here, and I know that this is the best way I can worship you. Okay, now change the script, right? I'm here for you, husband, because I know this is the best way I can love you right now, right?
Yeah.
Right. We see nothing wrong with going to Mass and, like, not really being into it and just kind of, like, bringing that to God, right? We see nothing wrong with that. People talk about that all the time. They're like, oh yeah, like, if you just, like, don't feel it in Mass, that's okay, right? Just bring yourself and make that the offering. But then in sex, we're like, oh, but you gotta want it. You have to want it. And you shouldn't have sex unless you actually want it, right? And you shouldn't initiate with your husband unless you actually want it. That's ridiculous. It's like, and that's so polarizing too, because that's just not how women's desire works. And the differences in how our desire work, like, allow us to use sex as a communication tool. It allows us to be able to learn things about each other through sex, right? So, like, your husband, Kathleen, was able to learn what it means when you initiate and the absolute gift that you are giving your husband, like, when you do initiate, because it's not necessarily something that you're, like, you know, just physically ready to go for, right? You're making an active decision, which in some respects, I mean, I would say in every respect, is actually a greater gift of love, because you're choosing to do it, not just, like, oh my gosh, my body's just primed and, like, I'm just ready for sexual release, right?
Right.
Like,
right,
I would say that's less of an act of love. Like, I'm going to get added for that, right? But.
Right.
But,
I mean,
like,
yeah, that's.
When you're making that hard decision and choosing to love, like, that's more loving. But so let's talk more about this conversation that you need to have with your spouse, because.
Yeah.
Here's the thing is I believe, Kathleen and I both believe, like, you need to start initiating more if you're not already, like, initiating regularly. And I have a few reasons why in a moment. But this conversation that you need to have is, like, I mean, I honestly think it's pretty straightforward. It's like, hey, husband, hey, Kurt, like, I want to start initiating more because I think that would be really good for our relationship, and I know that you would like it. This is really uncomfortable for me. I'm not comfortable initiating. I feel XYZ. I feel nervous when I initiate. I feel embarrassed. I feel inadequate, right? Put your adjectives in. And I want you to understand that, like, when I initiate, I'm not like turned on, rearing to go. Like, we still need to go through the same process that we always do during sex. We still need to have the same, like, level of foreplay and that kind of thing. Like, it's not, I just need you to understand that, like, I'm initiating, but it doesn't mean, like, let's go have a quickie, right?
Yeah.
I think that's it. Yeah. I think that's really all you need to say. I mean, what do you think, Kathleen? Is there anything else?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's basically the crux of it. It's just allow them into your headspace. Like, that's what's when you experience life in your own headspace. You don't experience it in other people's, you know? So if they're going to understand yours, you just need to show them. You need to like communicate what it's like to be in your own headspace and when you're in that space. And I don't know, maybe there's a day where you are just like ready to go, right? Like let that, like, great. Communicate that in the moment though, right? Like just, right. You know, you can do that. But if that's not the norm, if that's not where you typically are, then set the precedence that they should assume, you know, that this is the place that you normally are and what you normally need. Mm-hmm. And if there's an exception to that, I'm sure they'd be more than happy to hear about it in the moment.
Right, absolutely. Right.
Yeah.
You're ready to go faster. Set the precedence. Let's go, right?
Exactly. Great, cool. But set the precedence that this is where I typically am. This is my mental headspace. This is what I need. I am happy to initiate, but just understand that this is what I need from you in that time.
So let's talk about why you should initiate. Like, we've talked quite a bit from just like a loving, giving of self perspective. But let me talk about something even more practical. This is why you should initiate. I feel like I hear this all the time. Oh, my husband initiates. And it's like, seriously, dude, it's been a long day. I don't want, right? Well, if you initiate, you can initiate on the days that aren't long.
Yeah.
You have this awesome ability to look at your own day and go, wow, you know what? We have a free evening tonight. We could go to bed early and I could initiate. And I know that my husband would enjoy that very much. Mm-hmm. And it'd be so much better than tomorrow night. So much better, right?
Yeah.
And you can make that decision. And then you can initiate and you can pre-initiate by like sending a text message in the middle of the day and be like, hey, I think we should go to bed early tonight. Or like, you know, like you can be direct about it. You can be like beat around the bush about it. Like your husband will catch on. Don't worry.
100%. 100%.
And like when you initiate, you mitigate so many frustrations that I hear from women about their husbands initiating at inconvenient times. Because if you are the one that's initiating, and I'm not saying you're going to initiate all the time, and I'm not saying your husband's always going to initiate in inconvenient times. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I just hear this a lot of like, oh my gosh, like, why is it always on the days that are like the hardest that my husband's like, hey, can we, it's like, no, seriously. Dude, we can't, right?
Yeah.
But like, I'm saying.
No, it's a great point. It is a great point. And I think that it is good to stretch ourselves in that way, in ways that don't typically come naturally, but, you know, aren't like traumatic or wrong, right? Like, it's like to stretch ourselves in those ways that are loving, though they don't always feel comfortable, I think is really important for just kind of growing and maturing, I would say, even in our own sexuality. I think it's really, really important. It's like the pot calling the kettle black because I stink at it.
Right.
But from an intellectual perspective, I know that it is good. I believe that it is good. But I'm also a stubborn Irish woman, so I have to really kind of continuously challenge myself to to sort of do those things. But
oh my gosh. Let's talk. We have a few minutes left. Let's talk a little bit about like ways that you can initiate. If you're like, oh my gosh, you're telling me all this, Ellen and Kathleen, and I can't say the words. I am way too nervous to do that. I am way too embarrassed to do that, right?
Yeah.
Honestly, like one solid way to do it is to beat around the bush if you're not quite comfortable enough like saying the words, because your husband will catch on. Like I can pretty much guarantee that, right? So asking to go to bed at only 8 p.m., right? You got the kids down and you're like, hey, you want to go to bed, right? There's a great way. Another one, let's say you guys are like getting ready for bed and you're changing into your pajamas. And instead of changing into your pajamas, you could just not put your pajamas on right?
True.
I have a feeling your husband's going to catch true. On, right? Like,
you don't even have to say a thing.
You don't have to say a thing, right? I mean, putting on lingerie is another, like, nonverbal way. That's, mm-hmm. like, that's a really obvious one, actually. But that's a solid, like, nonverbal way of initiating. I don't know.
Even, you know what? If you are uncomfortable saying the words, thinking about it earlier in the day and texting is another really easy thing to do. There are, like, some really great, like, gifts you could send to kind of get the point across, you know? Yep. But just sending it via text message, so it's, like, being spoken but not verbally, is another way. That's honestly something that I tend to do a lot because I get the same way. Like, I feel, like, awkward and, like, mm-hmm. weird and uncomfortable when I say things out loud sometimes, that I often resort to like an earlier in the day text.
I like that idea.
Yeah. The other thing is just like getting into bed and rolling over and just like starting to touch him. Mm-hmm. Like that's a very easy, like you are literally just doing it.
Kiss his neck.
Yeah, exactly. Like do all those things, you know?
Oh, yeah, you know, like,
no, there's a lot of ways.
If you're in the bedroom first, you could light candles, turn on music, mm-hmm. turn the lights down, like, you know, you could sort of like set the stage. I think there's lots of ways to initiate without using words, because I think sometimes that is what like paralyzes us women, is like, oh my gosh, I could never like go up to my husband and be like, hey, like, do you want to have sex? Or like I couldn't ever like seduce him, you know, I couldn't ever like use that sexy language, or like, you know, whatever. And you don't have to. Like, there's so many ways. I would say that I would encourage you to try to get comfortable, like, using your words. But this is, like, these are great baby steps, is, like, utilizing, like, just nonverbal communication to do
something. Absolutely.
So. Yeah.
100%.
Anything else about initiating?
No. Just get out there and do it, girl.
Right? Get out there and do it.
Go initiate.
Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform that gives you the option to rate or review, we'd love for you to do that because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time.